As we say these words together. Our Father,
in the name of Jesus, we receive
revelation
that is found in your word.
We behold Jesus
as he sees us in him.
We are edified
because he's glorified.
We decree
and we declare
that there's no error
in this atmosphere.
We receive
the word of God
with clarity.
With clarity.
And our worship
is improved.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we'll start off discussing understanding believers' authority. Right? Oh, I'm not giving it the title. Right? All through this year, we'll be discussing in CMC understanding believers' authority. Hallelujah. In the month of November, we'll have another CRC. And we'll continue understanding the believer's authority. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So in the first section of today, this is CRC 2. Day 2, section 2. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. Matthew 28, we'll kick off from where we stopped. Matthew 28, verses 18. Make sure you don't miss first service tomorrow.
First service tomorrow.
I love the sound of that. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Say, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things as I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Glory to God.
Amen.
I will say that word, make disciples, which in the old King James is called teach, right? Go and teach all nations. That word is the word matitio. It's the word used for how professors are raised. Matitio. How scholars are raised. How you enroll someone in a school, in a citadel of learning. So what Jesus is saying is that they should go, not to go and, we'll go and win souls and leave them. No. It is actually to bring them into school. Into what? Discipleship. To be trained. It's from the word metano. Metano is the word used for one who learns. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And in verse 20, Jesus shows us how this should be done. He said, teaching them. We saw this morning. Teaching them. That word, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. That word, teaching them, is the word didasko. Didasko, which means the act of instructing. So what Jesus said is that the primary way disciples are raised is via teaching. You don't raise disciples by having concerts. You don't raise disciples by having bazaar. You don't raise disciples by having harvest, by having a good music team, by building an. When one begins to lose it is when you now base your believers' worship on music team. You buy the sophisticated equipment. And when you get to the church, even the voice of the minister is sounding like a thunder. The sound of many waters together. What you are doing? They're just working on your emotions. It's not worship. When they say hallelujah, I just hear, you say, oh, the Holy Ghost is here. Not the Holy Ghost that is here. The Holy Ghost is there because you are there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's welcome the Holy Spirit. Say, oh, I feel his presence. What is doing you? Seems to impress up somewhere. Hallelujah. Amen. I promised myself not to say that again. So I'm not going to say it. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. So you don't raise disciples by doing that. Disciples are raised by teaching. Do you know, we received a word during the last CRC as regards discipleship. No. We received such word, right? We received this word to stay more on teaching. We received similar yesterday from Pastor Wisdom concerning teaching to stay. That the minister should intensify teaching. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God wouldn't tell us to intensify praise and worship. Or praise night. No. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The primary meeting of the believer is teaching. Primary. So when you go to a place and all you do, or you just enter the meeting, you are coming to see the prophet. Only prophet. Only prophet. You know, I actually have that as a commitment that this year we'll discuss the prophet in the Old and in the New Testament, right? So we're going to discuss it. Let's see who a prophet is. Some people don't want to see a prophet. Prophet minister to my life. When you hear word, you say, yes, Baba. Yes, Baba. You need a medical doctor. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Medical doctor. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And at the end of the meeting, you say the meeting was great. What happened? Yes, Baba. Oh, yeah, yeah. Major one. Major one. Sorry. I saw fireman. It's not the fireman, it's sub-zero, you see. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, some people, it's just the childhood movies and the childhood game that they play that is worrying them. Hallelujah. I watched one day. And critically, the person was just saying, come. You know, they're going to take fire now. And the person just, in my mind, I just said, what is worrying this one? Is that Juke? That's like, who knows street fight? He's like, you can say, no, come, take it. I said, the fire of God, take it. I said, this is KO, street fight. Fireball. He has to be careful. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You know, that was how one day, years back, I was standing and see too much of football. And I told somebody, you know, I can release the anointing. Listen, like a football pass. You'll be there, just throw it. And today, if I look back, I would say it's too much PS that was running.
R2.
Glory to God. Because the primary way teaching disciples are raised is via teaching. And we say the disciple of Christ must be taught how to interpret scripture and teach it rightly. So it's not just about teaching, but you will learn how to teach. Hire me. I've been very careful to say some words. Hallelujah. But if you're in a place where you're not taught to teach, bro, sissy, look at it again. You are taught to explain scriptures. Hallelujah. There are some people, they've been going to church for 10 years. Take them outside and say, win a soul. Then you will know the earth is without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. Yes, now you begin to see numerous kind of teaching. You don't be like, what have you been listening to? Tract. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So we said a disciple of Christ must be taught how to interpret scripture and teach it. Look at Luke 24, verse 27. Luke 24, 27. Now we're in the teaching meeting. 27. Okay, let's get on. It says, verse 25, I'll start 25. And he said to them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe in all the prophets has spoken. Say, of God the Christ, to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory, and begin that Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Hallelujah. Verse 27 says, I'm beginning at Moses. When it says beginning at Moses, it means from Genesis, right? beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scripture. That word expound is the word diamenio. D-I-E-M-E-N-E-U-O. Diamenio. It's the word which means to go through scriptures and explain it as concerning Christ. We saw that this morning. Diamenio. That word expound means to go through. Right? To cut through. We saw the word dia and hemeneo. Dia means to cut through. Hemeneo means to interpret. So Jesus going through Genesis to Malachi, he explained it. Right? That's what it means. So when he uses the word expound, is where we now have the word hesegesis for, or hesegesis, meaning to go through, to explain. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. So Jesus explained Genesis to what? Malachi. Hallelujah. As what concerning himself. And we'll say that is how scripture ought to be explained concerning Christ. We looked at John 5, verse 46. It says, if you believe Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote of me. We looked at John 5, 39. It says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. He said, these are they which testify of me, but you will not come to me. Meaning you will not come to the conclusion of the scriptures concerning me. Meaning the scriptures testifies about Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you understand that? The scripture speaks about Christ. So Christ is the center theme of the scriptures. Christ is the way scripture should be read. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15 says, from childhood, brethren, you've known the Holy Scripture which are able to make the wise. Which are able to make the wise. The word sophizo, clever. Hallelujah. Unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it means in the scriptures, I will say when you hear the word scriptures, it refers to Genesis to Malachi. Because they don't have, there was no Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts of Apostles, Romans, Corinth, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. They were not scriptures at then. So what they had as scripture was what? Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. So when they were going to church, when they were going to the gathering, they would call it what? The Torah, Genesis to Malachi. Right? And we broke it further. That in before Jesus came, this before Jesus was born into the earth, before his incarnation, rightly put, what they had together whenever they come to the sanctuary or the tabernacle, when they meet, what they had, or what the Levites have to work with is what? The five books of Moses. We said that, right?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. So they had that. So the prophets will prophesy from Moses, right? Did you say that? And we looked at Ezekiel's prophecy, right? Okay. We're just trying to remind those of us who are not around. So, seeing Christ as the explanation of scripture is what Paul will call this cleverness. That is this cleverness. That is what he will call sophizo in 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. He will call it sophizo. To see salvation in Christ Jesus through the scriptures despite the event. No, we saw that this morning that they were events. We saw the event, right? We saw the event and we saw how Christ can be ministered in the event. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we also saw that in Bible interpretation, Jesus explained Moses rightly. Jesus did not contradict Moses, right? You saw that Jesus did not contradict Moses. He explained Moses rightly because he is the word, right? In the lips of the prophet. We saw that in Hebrews 1:1. Jesus is the word in the lips of the prophet. Meaning when the prophets prophesied concerning Christ, they were speaking concerning Jesus. So he is that word. Then that is the reason why John will say, in the beginning was the word. Right? In the beginning was the word. Which word? When he said the beginning was the word, he's referring to what? The words in the mouth of the prophets. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What was he doing? He's explaining Genesis to Malachi. The beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I remember we explained that in the last series, in the last teaching. And we said, amen, in the beginning was Word. and word was with God. That is to say, the word points to God, right? That is the word. Was with God is the word pros, pros, theos, meaning points to God, right? And God was the word. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So we said Jesus is the word in the lips of the prophet. So what they were saying were not actually, Jesus was not actually quoting Moses. Moses actually wrote Christ. So Jesus is the word that they spoke of. Hallelujah. In verse 14 of John 1, he said, and the word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. So those words in the mouth of the prophet became flesh. Hallelujah. And tabernacled amongst us. I will beheld this glory. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay. So we're going a step further. So we also said, in doing this, listen, in interpreting scriptures, the believer has got to be what? Careful. Ototomio, 2 Timothy 2:15. Careful. He must present Bible truth truthfully. And we said something in the light of what we're going to look at today. When a word or a statement seems impossible in the circumstances used, then a figure of speech is what? Is intended, right? A figure of speech is intended. And which should be well explained. Where? In the epistles, right? We find the explanation in the epistles and in the four gospels, right? Because we said the epistles are what? The epistles are what? The revelations of the Old Testament scriptures, right? So, what is the role of the believer today? What is our role today? Is the role of the believer to still be seeing a revelation? I caught a rhema from Moses. No. The role of a believer to read well. Ephesians 3 verse 4. Role of a believer is to read well. Paul actually, what is he reading? The explanations in the epistles. So Paul will use a word to qualify that. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4. In all this, we've not really entered the subject of this because we are still laying foundation. We are still in foundation stage. Chapter 3, verse 4. It says, by which, when you read, I'll start from verse 2. He said, if indeed you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me for you, how that by revelation, apocalypse, he made known to me the mystery. What is the mystery? What is the mystery? Old Testament scriptures, right? Genesis to Malachi, okay? Made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, what are you reading? Is it the mystery or the revelation?
Revelation.
The revelation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand that? The revelation. So, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mysterion, in the mystery of Christ. Let me say this. So, Paul is telling you how the epistle should be read. How should it be read? He uses a word, anaginosko. That is the word read. Anaginosko. That's a Greek word. By which when you read, when you anaginosko, when you read, anaginosko is the word that implies to study or to read again and again. It's from two words, ana. Ana means to read again. To read again. Do you understand me? So it's the word that implies thorough reading. Thorough reading. Do you understand me? You are reading thoroughly. So that is how that's how the epistles should be read. Because these are the explanations. Remember, when we studied understanding the gospel too, we said at the background of the epistles is what? Is what? We still remember. The Old Testament is at the background of the epistles. So meaning when Paul is explaining what they have at the background is what? The Old Testament. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So meaning Paul is telling the church, this is how the epistle should be read. The epistle should be read thoroughly. This is how to interpret scripture. You interpret scripture in the light of the epistles. So you must read the epistles well. Thorough. Anagenosko. In Colossians chapter 3 verse 16, it says the same thing. That's in Colossians 3, Colossians 4 verse 16. It says now, these epistles. Now, when this epistles is read, anagenosko amongst you, see that it is read in the church of the Laodicean, and you likewise read the epistles of the Laodicean. Meaning, the word read is the word anagenosko, meaning to read again and again. So, take note of this. A disciple of Christ does not get tired of reading the scriptures again and again and again. It's called anagenosko. You read again. You read again. Hallelujah. You keep reading. Hallelujah. There's no volume 1, volume 2, volume 3. No, just keep reading. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You don't get tired of reading. In this kind of reading, you pay attention to details. You pay attention to words, how words are used. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So a good disciple must read the epistles thoroughly. You must read it well so as to understand the Old Testament writings. Right? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Was that how Timothy followed Paul? Was that how Timothy followed Paul?
Yes.
Because yesterday we saw it, right? Right? He learned from Paul, and that's why Paul will call him wise. You have known. I do. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So the interpretation of the Old Testament must be with the lenses of the epistles. Take note of that. The interpretation of the Old Testament must be with the lens of the epistles. For instance, when you read and see that Moses gave them a temple, we saw that this morning, do not be carried away with the building. That God resided in a building. No. We say that temple is not a building of bricks. That temple is what? The body, right? That temple is the Spirit of God, rather, in the heart of man, right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
How did we know that? We saw it from the epistles, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, right? We saw it. So don't you know your bodies are the temple? So that is the explanation of that temple. And we said that the reason why Moses would give them a temple is because of the what? The hardness of their heart. The hardness of their heart. Hardness. What is the hardness of their heart? Their unbelief. We saw that God does not hide the scripture. When you hear musterion, it's not God hiding anything. No. We say what hides? The unbelief of man hides the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We saw that this morning, right? Unbelief hides the word of God. God doesn't hide. Because we said the root word of to hide is where you find the word darkness. And God is not in that. God is not associated with darkness. Do you understand? God is not associated with this, so God does not hide the scriptures. If God has hidden the scriptures, then how did Abraham believe? How did Isaac believe? How did Jacob believe? How did Enoch, Abel believe? They believe because the scripture is not hidden, but the unbelief of man will hide the word, right? Okay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And much more the reason in Luke 24, verse 45, it says, and he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So what was closed was their understanding. Unbelief. Sclerocardia. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So we say when you go to the scripture, you must read with the lenses of Christ, right? With the lenses of Christ. You must read the Old Testament with the lenses of Christ, which you will find in the explanations of the epistles. Hallelujah. And the four Gospels. Okay, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let's look at one more thing we didn't look at this morning. We'll look at it again now. There is another word called fight. You know, we looked at the Passover, right? We look at the Passover, we look at the bread. When he said, give us this day our daily bread. Not give us this day our loaf of bread. No. We talk about daily bread means what? Bread that lasts. Sufficient bread. Tomorrow's bread. And we saw the verse before. He was referring to what? Eternal life. Right? Remember the... let me not call it again. I listened to yesterday's and I'm like, why did I just say it? Let me not call it Bible study for dumb Christians. No. Hallelujah. Let's call it Bible study in a simple way. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You take away the verse where he said, I'm the bread of life, right? Yeah. And read what is before and what is after. I just thought I was referring to eternal life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So let's look at something. So we said we look at words the way they are used from where? From the words of Christ, right? And from the epistles. Let's look at that word first of all. Matthew 26 verse 52. We'll look at it again tomorrow. But look at Matthew 26 verse 52. Okay, no, before we get there, just look at the word fight first. We'll look at that one tomorrow. Let's not go front and back on it. Okay. The word fight in the Old Testament was used 105 times. Fight. Yeah. The children of Israel went to war with the children of the Amalekites. They went to war with the Moabites. Went to war with the Syrians, right? You have all these wars. And I will say, if you stick to the event, you're not different from the Pharisees. A good disciple must see salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, in all those things. So, and we said it this morning, that if you hear the word fight, you must see salvation in it. You must see it in the light of salvation. So what is salvation has got to do with fight, right? Next question you ask. Let's see Paul on this. In the four Gospels, the word fight is used once. That is in John 18 verse 36. It's used once. It's used 8 times in the epistles. Ephesians 6 verse 10. That's where we're actually going to. Ephesians 6 10. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the ways of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenlies, right? Not heavenly places, in the heavenlies. But when it talks about heavens or in the heavenlies, it refers to where? The heart of man. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
If you don't know that, go and get this is that. Believers meeting December. I spoke about it there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The heavens. When you hear the word the heavens, it refers to the heart of man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, let's see this. Or if not, you go back to December. I mean, you go back to July 2015. Great Union Abuja Crusade. Hallelujah. Okay. So what did Paul do? Say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What was in the background? The wars in the Old Testament, right?
Yes.
You know, that is what they will have. Maybe at that point, they are with the battle between the Israelites and the Amalekites. And now Paul is explaining. Do you understand me? So what Paul is doing here, he's explaining the Old Testament. We saw that this morning, right? So now what is he explaining? Those wars that they saw. Right now say we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So what is Paul doing? He's doing what Jesus would do. He's reworking Moses. Do you see that? Because for Moses to write about it shows that it has to do with salvation. Because God will not inspire Moses to write what is not God's work, and God's work is salvation. Do you understand me? God's work is salvation. So what did Paul do? He just reworks it. He said our fight is not against flesh and blood. So he reworks it immediately. We're going to look at it as we progress today. He reworks it. So it means that what they fought in the Old Testament is a wrong fight. You understand? It was a wrong fight. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because the fight is not against flesh and blood. So when I read that fight, I must not see flesh and blood. So what should I see? Paul now shows us in 1 Timothy quickly, chapter 6, verse 12. He speaks to Timothy as regards the fight. He says in verse 12, he says, fight the good fight of faith. He said, lay hold on righteousness. I mean, Lay hold on eternal life. I said righteousness. I was just looking at verse 11. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and having confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So he calls the fight what? A fight of faith. It's not a fight against flesh and blood, but what? A fight of faith. He says, did the same in 2 Timothy 4 verse 7. Look at 2 Timothy 4 7. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. He calls it what? The good fight of faith. So, the fight in the New Testament, that is the epistles, will be the real fight. The believer would, to be the real fight, the believer will have to fight. Which we'll look at as we progress. Jonathan, we'll look at it as we progress. But the fight the believer will be engaged in will be what the real fight. It's not the fight over human beings. No, it's the real fight. And Paul quickly reworks the mind of the church at Ephesus. He reworks their mind that this fight is not a physical fight. That is the fight of faith. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Go back to that Ephesians 6 again. Ephesians 6. Let's close down on this. It says, verse 10. Said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It says, be strong in the Lord. That word, be strong in the Lord, is the Greek word endunamo. It means to be strengthened. To be strengthened. Endunamo. It means to be strengthened. It is from the word enduo, which, and we saw that enduo means to put on. And you know that enduo has to do with your what? Your action. Right? Your action. Your will. So when you hear the word endunamo, it talks about what you do by yourself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand me? So when he said be strong in the Lord, is the word endunamo. You find that word in Acts 9:22, Romans 4:20, Philippians 3:13, 1 Timothy 1:12, 2 Timothy 2:17. I take it again. Acts 9:22, Romans 4:20, Philippians 4:13, 1 Timothy 1:12, 2 Timothy 2:17. Is what that means to be strengthened. To be strengthened. Now he says, be. Okay. He says, something like, brethren, be strong. That is, be strengthened in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let's look at that word, power. Power of his might. That word, power, is the word kratos. Kratos. Is the word that implies strength. It implies strength that is exercise. Strength that is exercise. You find it in Luke 1 verse 5. Acts 19:20. Let's look at Acts 19:20 quickly. Acts 19:20 says, so the word of the Lord grew. Sorry. Sorry a second. Sorry, let's take it back again. Luke 1:5, right? Let's leave that. I'm going to look that up again. Ephesians 1:19 is used. Ephesians 6:10, that's where we were. Let's look at Colossians 1:11. Colossians 1:11. It says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Exerted power, exerted strength, or strength that is exercised. Right? Hallelujah. Amen. According to his glorious power. For all patience and long suffering with joy. You have the same word in 1 Timothy 6:16. 1 Timothy 6:16. This is the same word too. Who alone has immortality, talking about God or the Lord Jesus. So who alone has immortality dwelling in an unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Strength that is exercised. You find it again in Hebrews 2:14. That word kratos. Hebrews 2:14. It says, in so much then as the children have partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in this same, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Kratos. So Satan's strength, hallelujah, is defeated. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay, let's move higher. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
We'll find it again in 1 Peter 4:11, 5:11. Write that. 4:11, 5:11. Jude 25. Let's look at Ephesians 1:9. Okay, no? Are you with me? Let's look at Ephesians 3:20 rather first. Ephesians 3:20. You know, for him to write power, he has been discussing power from chapter 1. Glory to God.
Amen.
Now let's look at chapter 3 verse 20. Ephesians 3 verse 20. Said, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So Paul describes this power as what is at work in us. This strength that is exercised. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It calls it the power at work in the believer. It calls it the power that is at work in the believer. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is that work in me?
Glory
to God.
Hallelujah.
So is that work in us? Now look at chapter 1, verse 19. Paul wants to give us the full description of this power. Number one, he said this power is resident in the believer. So this power in the believer is Christ's authority in the believer. We'll look at that much more tomorrow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's Christ's authority in the believer. Look at chapter 1, verse 19. He wants to explain this part. He says, I'll start from verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness. Exceeding greatness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. He used the word exceeding greatness. That word exceeding is the word hyperbalon. It's from a compound word, hyperbalon. H-U-P-A-B-A-L-O-N. H-U-P-A-B-A-L-O-N. Hyperbalon. It's from the compound word of hyper and balon. Hyper means beyond a mark. Do you understand me? Beyond a mark is the word hyper. Or beyond a target. You have a target and something is beyond the target. Do you understand? There's a target of 70% and you went to 100%. You've gone beyond the target, right? Right? Now, that is beyond the target. That is hyper. Then there's another word. The other word is balloon. Balloon means to cast or to throw. Do you understand me? To throw. So when you hear hyper balloon, it means to throw beyond the target. So when it calls it exceeding, it means... when you call it exceeding, you